going to go to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1, this is what the Bible says. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Folks, I want to talk to you about how to turn a scary Christmas into a merry Christmas. How to turn a scary Christmas into a merry Christmas. How to turn Christmas fear into Christmas cheer. I had a unique experience this week. I was able to spend some time with federal air marshals. I was able to spend some time with federal air marshals and be able to be involved in some of their training. And I didn't realize, I began to talk with the air marshals and they began to say to me, Pastor, every time you're on a flight and you're going to Israel, we want you to know there are four federal air marshals on the flight with you. Yeah, you can clap. That's good news. I said there are four federal air marshals. And I said, well, do you guys identify yourselves? And they said, no, we don't identify ourselves, but you can identify us. I said, how can I do that? They said, when you're on the flight and everybody's asleep, just look around. We're always awake. Said, we're awake. But I felt better. And it's sad, folks, that when you have to take a flight, you have to have federal air marshals on the flight. But reality is, that's the world in which we live. That's the world in which we live. 370 mass shootings in the U.S. up to this time. 307 mass shootings in the U.S. Recently, there was a country music concert in Las Vegas. 59 people lost their lives. Better than 500 people were injured. You'd think today a church, it ought to be a safe place. It's the church. But literally, recently, a masked gunman goes into a church in Texas. 26 innocent people lose their lives. So we can all concur with the principle, folks, that we live in a world that seemingly is controlled and consumed by fear. We live in a fearful world. And you know, your fears may not be like that. I know people fear living a life and that life being just a life of insignificance. There's people that fear dying, and there's people that fear dying alone. There's people fear never being able to get married, and there's people fear never being able to have children. There's people fear never getting over the emotional problem they have, or they fear being diagnosed with cancer, or they fear the secret that they committed, something that they actually did many, many years ago, they fear literally that being revealed. I think sometimes we're just consumed with fear. It reminds me of the story that I love to tell about the little boy out in Louisiana. And his mother says to him, Johnny, go down to the water and get a bucket of water. And Johnny goes down to the water to get a pail of water. And lo and behold, he sees a big alligator. And that alligator lifts its head up. And when Johnny sees that alligator, he runs like a scalded dog. He comes back. Mom says, Johnny, where's the water? And he says, Mom, you don't understand. I saw a big alligator, and that alligator lifted its head up, and I got scared. She said, Johnny, that alligator was probably as scared of you as you were him. He said, Mom, if that alligator was as scared of me as I was him, that water's not fit to drink anyway. But you know what's interesting? If you study the Christmas story, it was a time of great fear. Mary feared, and the angel said to her, fear not. Joseph feared, and the angel said to him, fear not. The shepherds feared, and the angel said to the shepherds, fear not. Zacharias feared, and the angel said to Zacharias, fear not. So it was a time of great fear. And what I want us to do, I want us to look at this time, and I want us to realize that Jesus Christ is the answer for the fears of our lives. Jesus Christ can take a scary Christmas and turn it into a merry Christmas. I want you to see some things. First of all, I want you to see Mary feared inadequacy. Mary feared being inadequate. I just read the story. The angel of the Lord goes to this young girl that's 15 or 16 years old. And the angel of the Lord says to this young girl, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have the Christ child. Now, can you imagine the inadequacy that she must have felt? She was only 15 or 16. She'd never been with a man. And literally, this angel says, you're going to have the Christ child. You're going to give birth to the Son of God. Not only are you going to give birth to the Son of God, but you're going to raise the Son of God. What a feeling of inadequacy. And you know, folks, I thought, this is where a lot of people are. A lot of people live their lives feeling like they're always inadequate. I'm from the wrong family. I'm the wrong size. I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not small enough. I'm not educated enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not witty enough. I'm not trendy enough. I'm not the perfect fit. I'm totally inadequate. So they live a life of fear because they simply realize and feel like I'm totally inadequate. Then there was another man. His name was Joseph. Joseph was a man that his girl that he was engaged to goes to him and says, Jojo. Jojo, I don't know how to tell you this, but I'm with child. And Joe says, but we've never. You know, folks, we got a group that hates the Christmas story. I mean, it just bothers me, all these groups that want to protest the nativity scene. Get real. Get real. Want to protest the nativity scene. If you really study those groups, the reason why they have a problem with it, if you look at those groups, there's not a virgin and three wise men in the entire group. Can you imagine? Think about it, folks. Think about your dating. I dated. Can you imagine you're dating and the young girl you're dating? I remember I got married when I was 19, but could you imagine I'm dating, you're dating, and the young girl says, I'm with child, and the daddy's God? And you're thinking, I was born at night, but not last night. I'm some dumb, but not plumb dumb. That's the story. That's the true story. There are people who are whispering, and the rumors, they're running wild. There's a woman who's not married, but she's going to have a child. Her name is Mary. She's a virgin from down in Nazareth. Now listen close. The baby's father is a man named Joseph. But God, the Father, is the Holy Ghost. Oh, folks, Joseph was a just man, and what he feared was, he really feared disappointment. He really feared. Now, wait. If I marry her, if I get involved with this, who will I disappoint? Who will look down upon me? I'm a just man, and I'm walking around with a lady who's with child. And see, folks, let me tell you something. Whose disapproval do you fear? Or whose approval do you live for? Whose approval do you live for? Folks, let me tell you something. I'm going to move fast, but you don't have to have any individual's approval. I don't have to have your approval, and you don't have to have my approval. You have to have God's approval. And when a man's ways please the Lord, it maketh him even to be at peace with his enemies. Focus on pleasing God, because if you please God, doesn't matter who you don't please, but if you don't please God, it doesn't matter who you do please. Focus on pleasing God. Let me tell you. And then there were the shepherds. The shepherds feared sudden change. Now, you need to come to the program. You need to come to the program at 2:30 and at 6 o'clock, because we've got some shepherds that I believe are the best ever. Now, think about these shepherds. The shepherds, folks, let me explain something to you. If you were a shepherd in biblical times, your testimony was not even admissible in the court of law. They were the most looked down upon people. They were the most looked down upon people in society. But that's the announcement. That's who God made the announcement to. that the Savior is born. You know what I believe, folks? I believe God was saying, I'm coming for those that were looked down upon. I'm coming from the people that were from the wrong side of the tracks. I'm coming from the people that were less fortunate. I'm coming for the people that have made a mess out of their lives. That's who the Savior came for. He came for all people. Red people, black people, white people, poor people, rich people, educated people, uneducated. Jesus is for all people. Now listen, what a contrast. They go out and they're just, you know, they're just common guys. But one night, the sky lights up and there's an angelic host in the sky. What a change. What a change. You know what a lot of people fear? They fear sudden change. And let me tell you something. I can't guarantee you anything but this. The only thing I can promise you about change is going to happen. A man lived to be 100 years old, and they said, I bet you've seen a lot of change in your lives, in your life. He said, yeah, and I've been against every one of them. The only person that likes change is a wet baby. It happens, amen? Let me tell you the fourth guy. His name was Herod. And Herod feared losing control. They said, oh, the king of the Jews has been born. Guys, this guy was so paranoid. He was so paranoid. Every time he went and watched a football game, every time Herod went and watched a football game when the team huddled up, he thought they were talking about him. I mean, this man was so paranoid. Literally, history tells us he killed his brother-in-law. He said, that brother-in-law wants my throne. He killed his mother. He killed his wife. He killed his two sons because he thought they wanted his throne. He feared losing control. Let me tell you something. You said, Pastor Benny, what would be an indicator that I battle this if there's worry in your life? It's a good indicator. It's a good indicator that you fear losing control if there's worry in your life. Let me tell you the fifth fear. It's Zacharias. Zacharias feared being disappointed. He feared being disappointed. And I would say he feared being disappointed again. And let me explain to you about this man. He and his wife were very old. Very old. And all they ever wanted was to have a baby. But they weren't able to have a baby. One out of six couples in America struggle with infertility. And they was one of those couples. And they got real old. I mean, they got when it was too late. But the Bible tells us that one day that Zacharias was in the temple. And look what it says in Luke chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. It says, and there appeared unto him the angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled with fear, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said, fear not, Zacharias. Thy prayer is heard. You and Elizabeth going to have a baby. Yeah. It won't be long. You all be on the front porch rocking in those Cracker Barrel rocking chairs, and there'll be diapers on the clothesline. It's going to happen. Yeah, you're going to pay your pediatrician bill out of your Social Security check. It's going to happen. But you know what I believe? I believe he feared greatly being disappointed one more time. He feared greatly being disappointed one more time. And I know people that have been hurt, and they say, Pastor, I'll never trust a man again. I'll never trust a woman again. I'll never trust a business partner again. I'll never trust a friend again. I'll never trust God again because I don't want to be disappointed one more time. Well, how do we turn a messy, how do we turn literally a scary Christmas into a merry Christmas? Let me tell you four quick steps, and I'm almost done. If you get finished before I do, slip out. Number one, surrender your life to God every day. Surrender your life to God. Folks, this is not a one and done. This is not a two and through. I don't care what you believe, theology. You say, well, Brother Benny, I believe in salvation. I believe in sanctification. I believe in consecration. Friend, you can believe what you want to do. But let me tell you something. Holiness is to surrender your life to God every day. It's surrendering your life to God every day. And literally, if you study the scripture, if you study the scripture in Luke 1 and 38, Mary said, I don't understand all this. I don't understand all this, but Lord, I trust you. I don't understand, but let it be according to thy word. I don't understand, but I trust you. I trust you. I'm going to trust you. Though you slay me, I'm going to trust you. I'll tell you something. This is what I know. I remember being 24 years old. I remember being 24 years old, and I was pastoring a church, and I'd been there 3 years, and the church ran 300 people, and I came down here, and I was just going to preach a night or so and go home, and I just came to preach. I got to be honest. Let me tell you this thing about, folks, if I could teach something about life, if I could teach younger people something about life, many times what you think something is about in your life is not what it's really about. And many times when you go somewhere, you think, I think it's for this, and it may not be for that. It's probably about something totally different. See, folks, how do you make God laugh? Tell him your plans. Tell him your plans. Many times what you think it's about, it's not what it's about. And I remember being 24 years old, and I'm coming, and I've preached a few nights, and they said, we really would like for you to be our pastor. And listen, I was a Tennessee boy. And I said, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. You know, I believe this, men. I believe probably when you don't listen to your wife, you miss 50% of what God's saying to you. This deal, I'm large and in charge. No. God made you one flesh. And Barbara said, I believe it's the Lord's will. I believe it's the Lord's will. And I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And I remember preaching on that Sunday morning. I'd rebuked her in the name of Jesus. And we were going home, and I was in a little red Dodge pickup truck, and there used to be no traffic on Rock Springs Road. And I was driving that little red Dodge pickup truck going back to Tennessee to preach that night in the church that just was perfect. And I said, Barbara, I believe it is the Lord's will too. And I laid my head on the steering wheel and stopped in the middle of the road and laid my head on the steering wheel and said, God, I don't want to do this, but I'll do this. Because I want your will for my life more than I want what I want. I want your will for my life more than I want what I want. I want your will for my life more than I want what I want. And let me tell you something, folks. This is all I'll say. I'm glad I obeyed God, because I truly believe this. If I had not obeyed God, it would have affected thousands of people's lives. And folks, I'm no different from anybody else. And this is what I'll say to you. Your life affects a lot of people's lives. So we need to trust God, and we need to surrender our life to God every day, and we need to do what God wants to do with our lives, because we're not our own. We're bought with a price, and we ought to give our lives totally to serve Him. Let me tell you the second step. Stop listening to the voices of fear. Fear is just false evidence appearing real anyway. 90% of the things you're worrying about will never happen. Those ladies were on their way to the tomb worrying about who's going to remove the stone away from the tomb, and the Lord already taken care of it. Most of what we're worrying about will never happen anyway. So stop listening to those voices of fear. Let me tell you, God hadn't given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Let me tell you, it's a great day. 1 John 4 and 18. For years, I studied 1 John 4 and 18, and I was as confused as a goat on AstroTurf. I mean, I was confused about that verse. But 1 John 4 and 18 says this: there is no fear in love, for perfect love casteth out fear. And always I would be fearful. I'd worry, folks. I'm prone to it. I'd worry, and I'd say, but God, I must not love you right. I must not love you right, because I've got fear. But it was a great day in my life when I understood, when the scripture says there is no fear in love, for perfect love casteth out fear. It's not talking about my love for God. It's talking about God's love for me. And God loves me in a perfect way. No matter what I've done, He's a perfect God. And He loves me with an all-compelling love. Let me tell you something. Surrender your life to God every day. Stop listening to the voices of fear. Do get a checkup from the neck up and get rid of some of that stinking thinking. Amen? You say, Pastor, I don't know how to do it. Let me give you some words of advice. One thing, you need to cut that negative news off that's coming into your head and coming into your iPhone and coming into your television. For many of us, it means cutting Fox off. For many of us, it means cutting MSNBC off. For many of us, it means cutting CNN, because all that is negativity that pulls you down. Now listen, and then some of you need to find some new friends. Amen. See, everybody you come in contact with either picks you up or pulls you down. You say, oh, they're saved. Let me tell you, just because you're saved doesn't mean you get a good attitude. Some of the most negative people I've ever met in my life have been in the church. Some of the most judgmental, harsh, legalistic people I've ever met in my life have been in the church. And folks, shame on us. We ought to lift one another up. We ought to love one another. When people are walking through a hard time, we ought to lift them up the most, not put them down. I got to move. Number three, I'm just preaching the book. Listen to the right music. Now, wait. I never noticed this till this week. If you look at the scripture, it says, when Mary got all this news, what did Mary do? She sang. Mary's Magnificat. It's a song. What did she sing, Pastor? My soul doeth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. What'd she do? She sang. Well, if she'd been, you said, Pastor, what do you say? This is what I'm saying. Praise is an antidote for panic, and worship is an antidote for worry. Let me tell you something, folks. When we realize how big our God is, our problems shrink. If it happened today, perhaps Mary would have sang the splendor of a king, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness has to hide, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. See, folks, I don't mind if we sing that, but I don't mind if we sing, oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider the world thy hands have made. I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder, the power throughout the universe displayed. What I'm saying, folks, hey, I'm not trying to pick on everybody. But if we're battling fear, cut Luke Bryan off. Cut Miranda Lambert off. Maybe Miranda, in light of what happens to her, needs to listen to the right music. And listen to praise unto God. Number four. Base your hope on the promises of God. Base your hope on the promises of God. If you look at verse 45, Elizabeth said, that's what Mary did. That's what Mary did. She based her hope. Let me tell you something, folks. You don't live your life by explanations. Be leery of that preacher who's always explaining this is happening for that reason, this is happening. He don't have a clue. No more than this one does. No, you can't explain God. His thoughts are much higher than our thoughts. His ways are much higher than our ways. You can't explain God. Listen, what an audacious statement for say, Pastor Benny's going to explain how God thinks. No. We don't live our lives based on explanations. We live our lives based on the promises of God. And God said he'd see us through, folks. And God said he's working all things for our good. And God said he's not against us, he's for us. And God said greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And God said he wouldn't put more on us than we can bear. And God said we may go through the fire and we may go through the water, but God said he'd bring us out to a wealthy place. And God said it pays to live for him on this earth and the retirement plans out of this world. Amen. It pays to live for the Lord. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe you can turn a scary Christmas into a merry Christmas by giving it all to God. You know, when I was young, I would be out with the boys, and I did a lot of things that I shouldn't have done. I regret. Say, Pastor Benny, do you have regrets in your life before you got saved? I do. But I have regrets in my life after I got saved. Somebody said, if I got what I deserved before I got saved, I'd be in hell. Folks, if I got what I deserved after I got saved, I'd still be in hell. I've got regrets both sides of the coin. Made a lot of mistakes both sides of the coin. Messed up. I'm glad he is our Savior and he does forgive us. But I would be with people and I'd be the life of the party. And then I'd go home. My mother would go in her bedroom and I'd go in my bedroom and I'd place my head on that pillow. And I don't think God, I don't know if God was hearing my prayer, but I'd place my head on the pillow. And I'd say, God, I want to go to sleep, but don't let me die tonight. Because God, I'm so scared I'd go to hell. I'm so scared I'd go to hell. The next morning I'd get up, I'd be the life of the party. But the next night I was back in bed crying on my pillow. Saying, Lord, I fear. See, folks, now, people get saved for different reasons. But I got saved because I feared going to hell. That's why I got saved. You say, that's not a reason to get saved. Well, why did Noah build the ark? The Bible says he moved with fear and prepared the ark to the saving of his house. It's a pretty good reason to get saved. Now, I began to study about holiness and consecration and things like that, surrender after I got saved. But I got saved for that reason. But when I gave my life to the Lord, that preacher looked at me and I prayed at home, and that preacher said, Benny, you're saved. I said, I can tell something's different, Clayton. He said, you don't have to fear going to hell because Jesus took your place. He took your hell so you never have to go to hell. And I want to say to you, every person listening, Jesus Christ took your hell so you can live a life of no fear. He took your hell so you can live a life of no fear. This Christmas, you don't have to have a scary Christmas. Oh, you can have it can be the best Christmas ever. It can be the best Christmas ever because of Jesus Christ.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.